Hello and welcome to the Health in the Real World podcast. I'm Chris Janke, joined today live with Laura Barker. Laura's a repeat guest. Laura, welcome back.
Thank you. I'm so happy to be here today with you.
I'm happy you're here as well. We're going to have a great conversation. We have about 30 minutes and you're going to talk about positive intelligence. You are a coach at laurabarkercoaching.com. And for those of you who don't know me, Chris Janke, I help people eliminate chronic pain. I've been a fitness trainer for about 20 years, and we do gentle stretches and exercises to get you out of pain. Laura, why don't you give us a quick introduction about who you are and what it is that you do?
Yeah, so a little bit about me is that I'm a leadership and career coach. Specifically, I work with people who are in career transition and trying to figure out what's next for them. I lead with helping people develop a positive mindset. So I am so excited about this topic today because I think in many ways, the language that I'm going to use is common language today. For example, saboteurs, and you can imagine that's negative thought patterns. And we're going to talk about that as well as how to transition into the right brain, positive thinking. So that informs a lot of my work.
That's awesome. And then let me just read real quickly the tagline or the description that we have for this episode, just to give a context. But I like that. Saboteurs, I'm interested to hear all about that. So here we go. So the ripple effect of positivity. Your energy influences the world around you. Learn how to radiate positivity and create a ripple effect of kindness and inspiration. This episode demonstrates the profound impact your attitude can have on your life and the lives of those that you touch. All right, Laura, let's take it away. Can we go down that road, saboteurs first? Yeah. Or do you have an intro that you wanted to go down instead?
No, you got it.
Let's do it. How do we sabotage ourselves? Let's do it.
Well, the good news is there's not a million and one ways. With this model that I'm describing today, there are 10. One of which is the universal saboteur. So what is a saboteur? As you can probably tell by the name, it's about our limiting beliefs, the ways in which we self-sabotage. So the one that everyone has around the entire world is the judge. Mm. We judge ourselves, which we're all familiar with.
Yeah.
Like go ahead.
Like our inner parent. Is this whatever your parent?
Critic, inner parent.
Yeah.
Very often it is that parental voice. Yes, I hear that a lot.
Yeah. So how does the judge, you know, I should be doing more. Why did I say that? You know, that type of thing. Is that the judge?
Totally. Yeah. Totally. It's that voice when you're waking up at 3 a.m. thinking about something that happened during the day. Yeah. That's your judge.
The judge is very active, very loud.
Yes.
So you said the judge is kind of the universal saboteur. Mm-hmm. So we've talked about some ways it manifests. Yeah. Now, how do we calm that judge down? What do we say to that judge?
Yeah. So first it starts with identifying it. I think some people don't realize how loud their judges are. They have that constant chatter in the background and there are some people who are aware of it and some people who actually aren't even aware of it. And I've learned that through coaching. Some people are not even connected to that inner voice. So they don't know that they may be not being led in the best way. Okay. And how do you know that? So you know you're being judged, you're being led by judge when you are, whenever you feel guilt or shame, that is the judge speaking.
Okay.
I'm summarizing that high level, but really that is the essence of the judge is about feeling a sense of when you feel that negative feeling of judgment, of shame, you know that you're being led by your judge and you judge. Okay. I said ourselves, we judge others. And then the other thing we judge is circumstances. So what I mean by that is that phrase many of us have, I will be happy when. Finish that statement. That delayed gratification is another way that the judge takes form.
Okay.
So that's we all have that one. We all have that one. The other, and then there's nine other ones, which I won't go through, but high level, what it is we all have ways that we self-sabotage. Yes. It could be the pleaser. It could be the stickler, the avoider. These are hyperachievers, a common one that I see. And so there are characteristics of these different saboteurs. Okay. But big picture, ultimately, what are they? They're negative thoughts, negative emotions. And the challenge when we're in saboteur mode is that we actually start to develop tunnel vision. We can't see as clearly because we are in saboteur mode. It doesn't mean you can't function, because what people will commonly say is, especially, for example, hyperachievers, well, I get stuff done when my hyperachiever is afoot. I get it done.
Right.
Yes, you do. But you're doing that with a lot of negative energy and a lot more effort than you
need. What is that? That sort of like struck me when you said that, where we judge situations and that whole delayed gratification, because on the other hand, I think my high achievers talking to, like, the ability to delay gratification. I've heard that that's sort of like a sign that like a sign of future success, right? If you can delay gratification now, then you don't need to, you know, go out and I don't know, spend money on frivolous things and things like that. So how do we find that? I know it's not an either or. We don't want to get stuck in either or thinking. So what is that third, more gray area solution to that?
Yeah, that's a great, I'm so glad you're bringing that up, because in the end, how do you know the difference is really what you're asking. And the way you know it is, what is the energy? What is the feeling or emotion that you have behind it? Ultimately, if it's negative, that's saboteur energy. If it's positive, that delayed gratification, knowing I feel good knowing I will receive X when, then you're not in saboteur mode. You're in the other mode, which is sage, which is where we want to get to.
So that kind of ties in together too. When you said early on, you said something like getting people out of their head and into their heart. And and so you're not just thinking about these things, right? You're actually feeling, how is this thought pattern? How is this delayed gratification affecting my feeling? Does it feel good to say, hey, in 10 years, I'm going to have, you know, this business that I built up. I just use business, but, you know, we can obviously fill in the blank. But versus, oh my God, I got to get everything done right. And like, that just doesn't feel the same, right?
That's exactly it. That's exactly it. Okay. So we've talked about saboteur mode. Now, when you're in sage, you know that you're in sage because underlying that is positive energy. Any positive emotion that you want to ascribe, I could go through them all, but you know the difference between when you're in feeling negatively and when you're feeling positively. And yes, I know this sounds obvious, but when we talk about feelings, we can only feel in our body.
Yeah, that's one of those things that, like, even my kids would say, yeah, of course, daddy, but like, we don't really think about that very often.
I know. Yeah. We're so in our heads. And listen, knowing the work that you do, which is about the body and connecting the body and mind, is the same thing. And a large part of what I'm doing when I'm talking about this is helping people understand that the solution to their getting out of saboteur mode is actually not thinking it through. It is actually moving into the body. That's how you make that shift.
Interesting. Very interesting. So gentle movements, or at least just becoming aware of feeling. I talk about this a lot. I say, like, you know, roll your shoulders. This is just an example. Roll your shoulders forward. Don't think about rolling your shoulders. Feel it. And so, you know, closing your eyes can be very helpful, because then you can really get in that feeling of the body and feel the tightness. I have a little story about yesterday.
Yeah.
This blew my mind. I've done a lot of work around this, and specifically like the either or thinking, trying to find that sort of blend. And yesterday morning, I'm taking my kids to school. It's a long drive to school. And I was extremely frustrated. We were late. I hate being late. And I was just very frustrated. And I was saying things that I was instantly regretting. Right? You never say that right to your kids. Like, why did I just say that? That was so stupid. So anyway, I made a few decisions. I said, first, I'm just going to not talk. I'm going to put on a song that I enjoy and I know the kids enjoy, and it'll calm everyone down. I'm just going to not talk. And then I started talking to myself, asking myself questions. How do I feel right now? I feel pretty lousy. Mm-hmm. You know, what are you focusing on right now to make you feel lousy? Oh, I'm focusing on the fact that we're late. I'm focusing on the fact that it's raining and the kids are loud and screaming and they forgot their lunch and a thousand other things. How do I want to feel right now? Well, I want to feel good. I want to feel at least confident that I'm doing my best. Okay, I want to, and that took a while to sit in, but then it was again, okay, well, what do I need to focus on to feel that? Okay, well, I need to focus on the fact that I'm not going to see my kids for the next 8 hours and I'm probably going to miss them. So, okay, let's, and so it was very interesting. And I was very, like the judge just disappeared, right? I think that's why I'm saying this. Yeah. The judge disappeared. I was proud of myself. I'm like, okay, that was a very small baby win. Let's have more of those. So it was very cool. Very cool to do that.
And Chris, would you say that, because you started this story by saying that you were listening to music, you put music on.
Yes.
Was that the access point for you to make that shift?
That's a good question. It totally was. It totally was. Because, you know, when you're driving, there's only so many things you can do with your body. But, you know, I think music is so powerful, right? And, you know, popping those AirPods and just listen to what you like. Yeah.
So it's interesting as you're saying this, because I've heard this from others as well about music being a nice way to transition from saboteur to sage. And when we talk about the body, we're talking about more than touch. We're talking about sound as well and sight. Yeah. And so music is a common one. Another sound one is when you're sitting here right now, listen to the farthest away noise that you can hear.
Oh, I like that. Yeah, it's interesting because I have, if I become aware of it, it just got very loud outside. There's a big truck going by. That's very close though, right? Very close. Your sound's very close. The rain even feels like it's right here. It does feel kind of like everything's barreling down. So it's taking a little bit of, just go inside for a second. You know, it's funny, even the effort to do that, I don't know if I even became aware of any sound because the rain is so loud. I don't know if you can hear it, but even just the effort, it sort of feels like everything's opening, right?
Yes, you get it.
So cool.
Yes, it's just about getting out of your head.
Yes.
And there's so many ways to do it, so many ways to do it. Exercise is the obvious one, but there are lots of other ways, and music, if you're actually listening to the music, is a great way to transition out of those negative thoughts, which, let's face it, they tend to be repetitive. You start to cycle, right? Or spiral.
Right.
Yeah.
So so this is great. I love this, getting into your body. We have multiple ways to do that, whether it's exercise, sound, you know, even breathing practice, things like that.
Yep.
What are some other strategies to make that transition over? And then I think after that, let's keep building the pyramid up, right? We want to continue that possibility and positivity. So what are some other strategies that people can implement?
So another technique would be sight. And what I mean by that is similar to sound, it would be the idea of looking at something in the mid distance. This act for me works better when I'm outside to look at something mid distance, but you could do it inside as well. The other end of the room, for example, or you could put an image on a screen and just look at it. Let's say it's a flower and you look at it in detail, the fronds, the stamen, the pistil, like taking that time to really look at it.
Yeah. You know, there's, as you're saying this, I'm thinking of when I was a kid, you know, this is like definitely pre-phone, even kind of pre-computer, right? Like we didn't have the technology and we're like staring at phones all the time. And I remember the feeling of boredom a lot.
Yes.
And just like look, and I would do stuff like that, just like look at a flower and just like, and it's like super boring, but you get into the details and there's no stress at that moment. Mm-hmm. And it just kind of occurs to me that I think for thousands of years, that's been childhood, right? There's no stress. You just kind of, you're just bored and you're just living your life. Mm-hmm. And there's something that switches, right? We have all these adult responsibilities and we forget, right? And I think even now, I think even children don't have that opportunity in this technological age. So it just occurs to me that one thing we can do with technology is set a timer, set an alarm.
Yes.
Hey, take a break, check out, right? Stare at a flower, do that. And
mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. And again, it's simple, right?
It's almost too simple.
No, but this is it. We want to make, this is part of being human. We want to make things complicated, but they don't need to be.
Right.
It could be looking at a daffodil. Like, that's it.
So what does that do? What does that do in the brain when we're so wrapped up on our phones, right? We're so staring at our phones, but then we just take the time, put the phone down and we stare at the daffodil. What is that doing in our brain and how is that connecting everything?
So what's happening is we're giving ourselves some space between an action or a reaction. Do you see that? It's like the difference between a reaction and a response. By looking at that daffodil for a period of time, I could tell you right away if I like it or I think it's pretty or not. But spending, I don't know, 3, 4, 5 minutes looking at it, I could tell you a lot more about that. I could place it to a context. I can talk about the different shades of color that I see within it and the thoughts that grow from it, because they will naturally evolve from that. It's about giving yourself space. And there's a guy named Johan Hari who wrote this book called Stolen Focus. And so much of this book is talking about how we have been hijacked in terms of our ability to pay attention, ultimately. So what we're doing when we're talking about in this model of positive intelligence, we call this a PQ rep. That's the mechanism to transition from saboteur mode to sage mode. Is to do PQ rep. Some people might want to call it mindfulness ultimately. But the point of all of this is to find a way to get present. And when you are present, you're not worried about the past and you're not worried about the future, thinking about the future. That's the magic of being in the present. So looking at that flower, you're ultimately present in the moment.
Yeah. Nice. And then that, I mean, I know the answer because I've been in both sides, but that allows you to focus more, right? That allows you to kind of get more in touch with who you are and where you're going, right? By the way, the book, anyone who's watching, I just found it on Amazon. So I will definitely be picking up a copy. Stolen Focus. That's awesome. So let's say somebody starts this program. I'm always interested in how do we make this super actionable and very simple to put in our lives. So it seems like if we just say, okay, well, I'm going to add a, I don't know, for lack of a better word, a workout today, and it's going to be 5 minutes looking at something that I previously have just walked by. So maybe it's that flower, and we start with 5 minutes, and then maybe after that, you know, go on a walk or something like that. So let's say we've added this into our lives for several weeks. We're getting really good at being present. What do you see as like, what's the next step in that staircase? Any other ideas that come to mind?
It's funny because you and I haven't discussed this ahead of time, but this model is called mental fitness. Seriously, it's a mental fitness model, which is funny, like how you caught on to that. We haven't talked about it. But really what this is about is there's insight, which is 20% of it, but 80% of it is the action that you do with it. So the act of practicing PQ reps, the concept is you do it at the beginning of the day. You want to charge up that self-command muscle. Because when you're in saboteur mode, if you do not make that mental shift within 7 seconds, that negative thought pattern will be absorbed at that point. So at that point, you'll have to do PQ reps. You can't think your way out of it.
What does PQ stand for again?
Oh, sorry. It's so positive intelligence. So I guess positive quotient would be.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, so like PQ. IQ, EQ.
Exactly. Okay. Yeah, exactly.
Got it.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's what you'd be doing. You start the day off by doing that. We talked about a couple of examples here. Sight, sound, breathing is a common one. Breathing is a common one. I also do writing as a way to transition.
Definitely. So I do like that concept of mental fitness. So it's interesting if you, I think this is shifting, but historically, let's say somebody says, oh, I'm going to go see my trainer today, right? I'm going to go get a workout. Nobody says, what's wrong? Are your biceps, are you anemic? Are you losing muscle? Do you have this disease? But if you say, oh, I'm going to go talk to somebody about my mental health, they're like, what's wrong?
Oh, right? Totally.
So,
I know.
So there's like almost this perception, like if you're going to talk to someone about your mental health, you must be way down here, rock bottom. Mm-hmm. Something must be so seriously wrong. Mm-hmm. But if you're going to go in for a workout, oh, cool. Yeah, you're just trying to get stronger, right? Yeah. So I do like that approach that we're talking mental fitness, that it's always, we're always seeking to improve it, right? And seeking to understand more about ourselves.
Yeah. And, you know, Chris, just to help you, we've talked about the saboteurs, but what is SAGE about? So what's happening is we're moving from left brain thinking into the right brain. And the left brain is great. So I'm not, it's a data processing center. It's really important. It's that computer where we're absorbing a lot of information. But when we're able to access the right side of the brain, we're accessing emotion, intuition, empathy. So the primary way to access SAGE is through empathy. And that's what we're looking to do when we do the PQ reps.
Got it. That makes a lot of sense. Mm-hmm. So as we are able to sort of like, I guess, put a little bit more of this under our control, and then we're moving more into that SAGE, what are any other techniques to stay there longer? Or I'm trying to build this staircase in my brain to see how.
Yeah. So I hear what you're saying. And what happens is once you've accessed the SAGE, what I'd like to point out to people is I'm not saying to deny the left side of the brain. What I'm looking at is giving people access to a whole other side of the brain that in our society is not necessarily rewarded. Going through school and learning information, the accumulation of information is great, but we're not necessarily rewarded for leading with intuition. Certainly not in the workplace. As much as we're starting to talk more about empathy, we're not necessarily leading with it. So what happens is once you're in SAGE mode, some of the things you have access to is the ability to explore, to be more creative, to innovate, because now you have access. You're no longer in a tunnel vision framework. You can see like a wide zoom, right? You can see a lot more around you.
Right.
Which allows you to innovate more. You can navigate. And then finally, the last power, they're called the SAGE powers, is activate. Which, as a trainer, I'm sure you will identify with.
Activate.
Yes, activate.
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah. Okay, so what is activate specifically then?
So activate is the final step. There's a process that we go through when someone has entered their SAGE mode, where we explore in coaching whatever has come up for them that day. So typically what happens in coaching, someone comes to a session and just like with a trainer, they say, like I have back pain. They'll say, I am feeling burnt out or I'm stuck. That's a common one. I'm stuck. So the goal is by the end of the session that they want to somehow know what their next steps are and hopefully feel a bit more unstuck. So the process is to start with where they're at, do some PQ reps to help them access their SAGE. And then once they're in SAGE, we go through these different steps. One is explore, which is understanding really the current state, what's going on. And then we want to go into developing some ideas of things that you could do. And you do also have to acknowledge what the saboteurs have been telling you, because unless you acknowledge it, sometimes it's hard to get rid of them. But then you can park it and then you can move on. And then you move into navigate. And one of the great questions that you can use to navigate is, what would your 80-year-old self tell you about what's going on today.
That's very, like you said, zoomed out, right? Yeah. The zoomed out. Yeah.
Yeah. Awesome. Yeah. Cause so often we get so mired in that detail that that we need that gift of zooming out to be able to see things a little bit differently.
Right. It's a very good point. Mm-hmm. I like that. I mean, like you said, schools are starting to come around to this a little bit more. And obviously those leadership qualities are developed not by memorizing, you know, your times tables, but but through more of this big picture thinking. So I think it is coming around. I think I think it's very important, but we probably have a long way to go. Laura, what do you recommend somebody do next as a call to action? Is there a video series? Contact you? Is there a resource?
Yeah. Well, actually, I've done a webinar on it, introducing this concept. It's about 30 minutes to 45 minutes. I can't remember off the top of my head. Nice. But I could give that to you, Chris, so people could learn more about what positive intelligence is.
Okay. Yeah. What would be better? You want to send me the link and I can put it in the description? Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Sounds good. So that'll be in the description. And then Laura, summarize everything we've talked about. And again, we're going zoom out now. Mm-hmm. Big picture, how this relates to to people's goals, to people's lives, and just wrap it all up.
So what I would say is the value of a positive mindset impacts relationships, your performance at work or athletically, and it affects your wellness. So once you learn this operating system, there are so many different ways that you can use it. You start with one and work yourself through it and understand how it applies and how you can apply it, recognizing what your triggers are, your saboteurs, and when they tend to come up. And once you learn those techniques about PQ repping and how to shift into that positive mindset, you can actually apply this in all those other areas, like I said. Performance, relationships, and wellness.
Very good. Sounds great. Laura, I want to thank you again for joining me today on the podcast. This is some great content. I want to check out your webinar as well. And as stated, we'll put that in the description, whether you are listening to this, watching it on YouTube or Facebook, etc. Laura, thank you so much.
Oh, thank you, Chris. This was wonderful. I appreciate it.
Oh, where can people find you? What's your website?
Oh, laurabarkercoaching.com.
That's right. I forgot that. However, I think I did mention it in the beginning. So
you did. No, you did. So, yeah.
All right. Thanks again, Laura.
Thanks.